and welcome to another episode of Radio Gore Press. We're up to episode 11 now.
11. The heady heights of 11.
Well, yeah. Heady heights. I don't really think 11 is heady anything.
The middling knees of...
Yeah, that's more like it.
Of 11.
When we get to 100 shows, maybe we can throw those kind of terms around. As usual, I'm Sarah, and with me is Phil.
Hello.
How you doing?
I have a headache, but I'm going to power through. How are you?
Fever?
I don't know.
Heat,
maybe.
It's very hot today.
It's muggy. There. How are you?
I'm not so bad.
Good.
Yeah, so we just sat down to watch Sightseers.
Except we didn't. We're going to watch it in the break.
No, we just watched it. No smoke and mirrors this time around. Here's a peek behind the curtain. Yeah, so I think it was the third time I'd seen it.
Okay.
And the first viewing
first time I'd
for
seen
you.
It.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we haven't actually talked about it at all. We've literally finished watching it about 10 minutes ago, so I'm really intrigued to see... Well, to hear your thoughts. But before that, we decided to completely forego the whole top five thing and do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because we're the adults now and we make the rules. Damn it. Because we had a movie night last week where we watched Willow Creek, we thought a little bit tenuous, but the whole couples and camping...
It's good enough for us.
Thematically, it kind of fits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to do like a little mini review of that. Because it wasn't until kind of this morning that I thought... We all sat down to watch it together last week, but we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about it.
No, it was kind of like we just went...
Yeah, well we had
right,
a...
let's film the...
Yeah. We had kind of an inadvertent mini Bobcat Goldthwait night.
Oh, we did, yeah. We did that watching his stand-up, didn't we?
Yeah. Which was hilarious. You know, I have a lot of
I
love for that.
A little.
That's going to become a Gorpress catchphrase now, isn't it? That pooped a little. So, yeah, I mean, I got the impression you enjoyed Willow Creek.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really loved it.
It's not been out in the UK long, so for the uninitiated, what's it about? It's a really simple premise.
Yeah, it's basically the Blair Witch for Bigfoot, really.
Mm-hmm.
A couple go camping, intending on digging up the secrets of Bigfoot. And despite the warnings of the locals to turn away, all cliche
back.
Stuff, they delve further in the woods and get thoroughly creeped out. The end.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a really short film.
Yeah, it's like 90 minutes. No, it's not
less
even that.
Less than that,
yeah.
Like maybe 80 minutes or something. Very short.
Hour and a quarter thereabouts.
It's not a film that needs a very lengthy synopsis or that... suffers from not having one. The plot is what it is.
Yeah.
What makes it for me were the actors.
Yeah.
It's literally just two people. Like, even less of a cast than Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Literally just these two guys. It's shit. names. Alexi Gilmore, I remember, because she was in World's Greatest Dad. And I want to say Bryce Johnson.
That
it's
sounds
Bryce
right.
Something.
Because I remember thinking. I thought that was a woman's name.
Bryce.
Only because of knowing it from Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe it's like Ashley and
no,
Jamie.
I think it's, yeah, it must be. I think it is Bryce Johnson. Sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, without those two, it could have been a completely different film. I get the impression they were probably allowed to ad-lib a fair bit.
Mm. And if so, they did it well.
Yeah. I think... So go on then. What did you think of Willow Creek? Because you know that I really enjoyed it because I made you watch it.
Well, yeah. No, I really enjoyed it too. I think it's such a relief, and it's surprising how many directors stumble over this just to have likable characters.
Fuck yes.
Like they're both really likable.
Yeah.
You know, you get the feeling they are, you know, genuinely in love and, you know, they are just pissing about. Not pissing about, there's a, you know, they're well-rounded characters.
Yeah, the acting's really good in it because it's... They come across as very natural without it being too naturalistic, which I think can sometimes feel a little bit forced in and of itself. But they have really great chemistry.
Mm.
I could have watched an hour and a half of them just...
Pissing about.
Just
Yeah, me too.
Filming themselves next to Bigfoot statues, I'd have been happy without any of the scares, to be honest. Give those people a show. I would watch that. So, Bigfoot has kind of had a checkered history on film. Well, in films, should I say, on film. I'm a skeptic.
Didn't they prove it? Well, disprove it.
What, the Patterson Gimlin footage?
I think it was just a film. Shooting a film and he was dressed up in a monkey suit. It's about it, I think.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. So are you a believer or a non-believer?
Afraid not. I've become convinced that it's... I mean, the same with Loch Ness, that's been disproved. It's one of those things that's... those myths that, despite the fact there is evidence to the contrary, it just persists.
I can understand people wanting to believe.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's
like, cryptozoology is really fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea that these mystical creatures could be hiding out there somewhere.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons that Willow Creek really worked for me, I mean, it worked on so many different levels, but one of the reasons was because they acknowledged the things that normal people would talk about. Like, obviously, the female character is a complete skeptic.
Mm.
Her boyfriend's a believer, and she's like, yeah, but why haven't they found any dead Bigfoot? You know, she brings up a lot of interesting points that normal people would.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like the film so much, rather than screaming at your TV at the awful things that these characters say and do. It's like, yeah, no, she's got a point.
Yeah.
I'm down with that theory. So I think, yeah, it's all about the characters for me.
Yeah.
And that, obviously, that kind of 20 minutes in the tent.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen it, there's a single...
Well, for those who haven't seen it, maybe stop listening now, I would say.
Okay.
Unless you're a fan of spoilers, in which case... Actually, you were.
Listen. Well, if they've seen it, what's the point in going on to the 20-minute sequence?
Oh, well, you can say that about the whole... What's the point of the podcast?
This is true.
Say some words.
Okay, well, there's no need to explain it. If you've seen it, there's a 20-minute sequence where...
Or if you're just a fan of spoilers.
Yeah. Or if you're a fan of spoilers, where it's nothing but those two in their tent and the... night.
And there's no... I think there's one cut.
Is there one cut?
Yeah, when they turn the camera off.
They turn the camera off and fall asleep again.
Yeah.
But it's just incredible because it...
Like, nothing's happening. It's just two people in really dim light going...
yeah.
And looking around. And then there's the very, very odd noise from outside.
Stuff,
which could have been anything.
Yeah.
And there's fuck all, really, that happens for 20 minutes.
But
and
it's so
brilliant.
Captivating. So captivating. Because you find yourself... Well, like, their reactions are perfect.
Mm.
Like, they, you know, everything about it is gauged so well.
Yeah.
That they, you know, it's that's what captivates you, because you get drawn in by it.
It's no Blair Witch. Well, let's go outside the tent and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And around in the woods at night. They're just like... Shit.
Let's just stay here, shall we?
Turn the light off. I want to go home. Which, again, testament to the fact that Bobcat Goldthwait did his research. He did his homework. He figured out what not to do.
And the reason I never go camping.
Oh, yeah, sure. Shit, won't go camping now. Christ, between that and sightseers in a week, no, put off for life. Caravans are terrible anyway.
This is true.
So... I think it's kind of pointless me asking you this. Willow Creek would be a recommend.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'd love to rewatch it. I mean, actually, because it was like, it was just pure enjoyment. It wasn't, I don't think it would lose anything in rewatching. Obviously, you would.
Yeah, I was surprised, actually, because I saw it about a year ago, nearly a year ago.
Fright
Fest, it was on at Fright Fest. We were really lucky, actually, because we skipped out on I Spit on Your Grave 2, which is a decision I will never regret in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really dodged a bullet in that one.
Yeah. But that was on the main screen. Baffles me, that choice. Yeah, I Spit on Your Grave 2 was on the main screen, and Willow Creek was kind of shunted to the Discovery screen.
Mm.
But having said that, we caught it on its second screening because the first one sold out.
Okay.
So they basically found time in the schedule to screen it again because there was so much demand. And we were really lucky because we went to the ticket desk and the guy had like a handful of tickets. Nice. Even though we'd asked in the morning and it was sold out, and he was just like, yeah, go on. Score.
All works out for the best.
Yeah, it was really cool to see it on a big screen, actually.
Mm.
Definitely benefits from that. But it worked just as well on a small screen last week.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But yeah, as you were saying about it standing up to repeat viewings, I was really surprised, actually, because found footage for me is probably one of the subgenres that suffers the most from something being taken away on that first viewing.
Yeah.
But in this case, no, I enjoyed it just as much the second time around.
Okay.
And I found myself getting just as tense at the end as well, which is really something, I think. That's pretty rare.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah, huge recommend from me too.
Happy days.
Yeah. Can you think of any other Bigfoot movies that you like?
I can't think of any other Bigfoot movies, full stop.
Harry and the Hendersons,
dude. Apart from that. To be honest, I was thinking someone should intercut that. I remember thinking when we watched that, just intercutting Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, man, and, if they'd had, like, John Lithgow in a small role, that would have been perfect. Wow. I kind of want to watch that. I think it's on Netflix.
We should double bill it sometime.
Oh, my God, yes. But which one first?
good question. What would you put first?
I don't know. You stun the risk of, if you put Willow Creek first, then it gives Harry like a slight sinister edge.
This is true, but then it's, you know, calms you down after getting all the tension out of the way, I suppose.
Okay, I can. Do you know what? I can think of like a handful of Bigfoot movies, but there haven't really been any good ones. Like, feel free to prove me wrong if anybody knows of any really great Bigfoot movies that aren't Willow Creek, obviously. Then do email us at mail@gorepress.com or find us on Twitter at Radio Gore Press. Like, there's been a bunch recently.
Okay.
I think The Lost Coast Tapes.
Okay.
I think there's one called The Bigfoot Tapes. There's quite a few found footage ones, which I guess, because nobody really knows what Bigfoot looks like, there's a lot of, you know,
it does lend itself well to, I mean,
the shaky cam.
You know, that sort of, A, that's what the whole Bigfoot is founded in, because it was on a handheld. Yeah, that kind of, the initial footage was done in that sort of, not done in that style, but it was filmed in that way. And B, it's all about, it would be all about kind of a bunch of people going into the woods and exploring, you know, and that's, to film that, it seems to make more sense to have it from their perspective rather than, you know, from like an omniscient other person watching them, you know.
I know you're probably worried that I've drifted off now, but
I was wondering what you're looking up.
No, I remember seeing a Bigfoot movie on Netflix a little while ago and it was absolutely awful, but I think it had Lance Henriksen in.
Okay.
I'm just trying to find out what it is, because the guys, I think, well, I don't know, like Sasquatch and Bigfoot, are they the same thing?
I think so, yeah.
Yetis are different, though.
Yetis are abominable snowmen.
That's mean. Why are they so abominable? Maybe they're lovely.
I'm sure they are. They're just misunderstood.
Oh, here we go. Oh, no, Sasquatch Mountain, that's not it. Or is it? Has he been in more than one? Oh, Lance. Oh, no, it's also called Devil on the Mountain.
Hmm.
This is not the film I've seen. Oh, there is a film called Bigfoot.
Also starring Lance Henriksen.
Sawtooth. No, sadly. Okay. There's quite a lot, though. But yeah, this one that I remember, I don't think it was this one. Maybe he's just a Bigfoot fan.
Maybe.
But basically, the Bigfoot, Big Feet, I think there were more than one.
Yeah. I don't know how you'd pluralise it. Bigfoots?
Fuck no, I'm going to give up. But it basically looked like a guy in a wetsuit with blackface.
Okay.
It was really weird.
Interesting.
It was really shit. And on that note, huge spoiler, back to Willow Creek. What do you make of the end?
I have no idea. I figured that would be the next question. I have no idea.
What the fuck?
Just zombie women.
Well,
not even. I don't even know.
I don't know if that is sort of Bobcat Goldthwait's take on Bigfoot, in that it's just these sort of indigenous people.
Yeah.
Or if he was just like, really fuck with people and just throw in a huge naked lady. Because who cares?
I haven't even begun to work that one out, to be honest.
It's not something I've really looked into. I'd love to know people's theories on that.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I mean, it could just be, like, if you ask Bobcat Goldthwait, I'm sure the answer would probably be, because fuck you, that's why.
It does seem like a very Bobcat Goldthwait thing to do.
But I'd love to know what his thought process behind that was, because that was a real sort of, hey, wait, what?
Yeah.
Which kind of added to the
history.
The greatness of the film, because it's like, I don't know what I've seen right now.
Maybe, yeah, you could argue there's some kind of, they want their woods protected, so there's this kind of tribe of people living in the woods and scaring off intruders by hitting bits of wood by other bits of wood.
Or maybe it is just Lady Bigfoot.
Lady Bigfoot.
Who
there's
knows?
A sequel. There's a sequel.
Oh dear. Sympathy for Lady Bigfoot.
Yeah, glad I wasn't there when he thought that.
No. My brain went there too. So on that note, are we... anything else to say about Willow Creek or Bobcat Goldthwait or Bigfoot or Harry and the Hendersons?
I quite enjoyed the joke about him styling himself on Grover from Sesame Street in stand-up. That made me giggle because all of a sudden I just couldn't separate the two. I was watching a video on YouTube by, you know, John Oliver from, like, Community and stuff. You know, he's kind of become big in America now.
Last week.
Yeah.
Because he was on the Tonight Show with Jon Stewart.
Okay.
He had a segment on that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, off the back of that, he got given his own.
Okay. Well, we did a segment on the prison system.
Yeah.
And he has the Sesame Street characters. And it's like, I can't shift them anymore. Permanently associating them with Bobcat Goldthwait.
Amazing.
But yeah, that's my that was my comment.
Awesome. So we're going to take a quick break, collect our thoughts, and we'll be back to talk about Ben Wheatley's Sightseers in a minute.
Show me your world, Chris.
Well, I thought we'd start with Crouch Tram Museum.
Great.
Dear Mum, Yorkshire is lovely, not like you said at all. They can smile, and they do sell my pasta sauce. The caravan bed is quite short, but Chris is a sensitive lover. Hope you can be happy for me. Love, Tina.
Yeah, good girl.
You are going to pick that up.
I didn't do that.
If you don't pick up this excrement immediately, then I'm going to have to inform the National Trust.
Report that to the National Trust, mate.
I don't want this to ruin our holiday.
Get in.
Never thought about murdering innocent people before.
It's not a person, Tina. He's a Daily Mail reader. Say one word and it's...
I get it. It's just thinking outside the box.
Police are pursuing a ginger-faced man and an angry woman.
Sit! You're a liability. You're just like your mother.
Has it gone wrong?
Yeah, a bit.
You didn't let him see you do number twos, did you, Tina?
We both said what a nice couple we thought you were. Oh, I love her. Everyone else seems to find it so easy to express themselves. I mean, even you've got your knitting. Have you had a nice holiday?
Yeah, I had a brilliant holiday.
Fuck you!
And we're back. So yeah, this week we decided to take a little look at Ben Wheatley's Sightseers.
Mm-hmm.
Phil had never seen it before.
I had not.
Nope, it was the third watch
as
for me.
As is the usual case
yeah.
in these situations.
This is becoming a running theme. Because you've never seen any films.
Apparently
I'm
going to
start calling
Rosie's
you Rosie.
Thing.
Yeah. In jokes. So, now that you've seen it,
mm-hmm.
give us a rundown of what it's about.
So the daughter... the 34-year-old daughter mm-hmm. of an overprotecting mother.
Overbearing,
decides to,
I would
yeah,
say.
Overbearing. Decides to go on a holiday with her new love.
A ginger-faced man.
A ginger-faced man. they embark upon their quest to the north.
Well, Midlands.
I swear they went through Yorkshire.
Oh, no, they do. You're right. Do you know, I think I've actually been to the caverns.
Really?
Yeah. Carry on.
And end up killing people, really.
They do. Well,
starts off as an accident and just sort of snowballs from there.
Yeah. That's a fair assumption. Yeah. It's very, very, very dark. Very black comedy. Have you seen anything else that Ben Wheatley's done?
Yes.
Sure.
He did one of the segments in
ABC's
of Death.
Which one did he do?
Didn't he do the first person zombie one? Or first person.
Oh god, I've pretty much.
I don't know. I seem to remember name checking him in my review.
Shall we check?
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Meanwhile, I'll frantically think of other films I may have seen by his.
I think
of his and
last
fail
week,
miserably.
Yeah, I think last week we sort of touched on it a little bit. Have you seen Kill List?
No.
Watch Kill List. It is. Well, most of his films seem to really divide people.
Okay.
So, I would be. Well, actually, no, I'm not going to recommend it till I actually know what you think of Sightseers.
You've Got Unearthed, I think, is what he did.
Okay.
But carry
on. Yes, he did. Yeah, I can't really recommend it until I know what you think of Sightseers, because we haven't actually talked about it yet. If you liked Sightseers, then I would imagine you'll probably really like Kill List.
Yeah.
He's got a very kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? He's got quite a distinct style of filming, I think. I haven't actually seen Down Terrace, but I have seen A Field in England. And they
of course, that was the one that was broadcast, like,
yeah.
In everywhere in one go.
Yeah, I think it, well, we watched it on, I think it was on Film 4.
Okay.
We watched it the day it was first broadcast. But yeah, they released it on, well, they released it in cinemas and on DVD all on the same day, I think.
Yeah.
Which is kind of intriguing. And the internet sort of went mad for it.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty canny marketing, because I can't imagine that it's a film that would have made more money had they released it the normal way. So I think they.
Well, I think it's what, like, no one wants this whole gap between
the staggered release.
It's like,
no,
just
it's
release
bullshit.
Everything in one go, and people will watch it the way they want to watch it. You know,
particularly the whole the releasing in different countries. Like, obviously.
Yeah.
The States tends to get things before we do in a lot of cases. And because of that, I know quite a lot of people who pirate things in order to stay up to date with their American counterparts. Because you need to be able to.
And particularly since the internet's connected everyone so much.
Well, yeah.
How could you, like, avoid spoilers, you know?
Well, exactly. Oh, God, yeah. Game of Thrones, here we go.
I was surprised Rosie managed to go a year or two without having the first season spoiled.
That was insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, she must have lived in a hole for a year.
Yeah.
But yeah. Because of spoilers, because of jackholes on the internet, of which there are many.
Yes.
It forces people to download things, and it is utter toss. Like, what are the reasons? I think, you know, people have cited a few reasons, like, they release it in one country to test the waters and see how it'll do, so they know how to push it in other countries. But I think distributors know
just
they're going to do.
Just put the DVDs in DVD shops.
Yeah, they know they know how
pretty much
they're going
to
push things. Yeah, I call bullshit on that. But it would be really nice to do away with that.
Yeah.
So it was quite interesting to see how that worked.
Mm.
And A Field in England was really good. It was a really bizarre film. And I think they marketed it in the best way possible, because everybody was talking about it that day. Mm. Everyone... It
yeah,
was crazy.
I remember how Twitter was going crazy.
Twitter was a buzz.
Yeah.
It was quite fun to see, though. I'd like to see more of that.
I do like those moments when Twitter just kind of
yeah,
just really focuses on one particular topic, because you get this real sense of community about
yeah,
it,
which
is really nice.
Yeah, it's the great thing. Yeah. And I'll be completely honest and say that I didn't love A Field in England.
Okay.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
It was very, very Ben Wheatley. Mm. It was very English, and it was really interesting. I may watch it again, but I'm not in a mad rush to.
Yeah.
But it was a good film. But even given that I didn't, like, adore it, it's still really nice to have watched it on the day of release and kind of feel like I was a part of the whole thing, which is great. Like, yeah, people should take note of that and do that more. Mm. That was genius.
Definitely.
I honestly don't know how much of that was Ben Wheatley's doing.
Yeah.
I like to think it was his idea, and if so,
you tend to find the smaller the budget and the kind of more indie the filmmaker, the more control they have over, because
I think it depends who buys
your
film.
I guess so, yeah.
If somebody buys the rights to it, and that's the only way you can release it. But he had a couple of other films under his belt by that point, so I'm sure probably he did have a fair bit of control.
Mm.
Yeah. I'd like to see Dan Terrace. But given that... Sightseers. I've done a few films by that point. Maybe his third feature length, I think.
Did some Doctor Who episodes I saw.
He did, yeah.
Quite surprising.
Yeah, he has dipped into TV.
Mm.
I'm not a Doctor Who fan, so I couldn't tell you if...
I wonder which episodes he did. Didn't actually look it up.
They were this year, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I couldn't actually tell you if they had, like, the Ben Wheatley touch.
Yeah.
Or if they looked like...
I doubt they would, though, because obviously...
Oh, not
it's
in
meant,
something
like
that.
It's meant to be... Obviously, you get script supervisors and stuff. He'd have much, much kind of less creative reign.
Well, yeah, it's the same kind of thing as Neil Marshall directing Game of Thrones. Like, he... As seems to be the case now, he seems to be the go-to for, like, the big... episodes, like the the thingy fire.
Wildfire.
And the obviously
Siege of the North. Or Castle Black. I can't remember what the episode was called, but
that one, yeah. With the giants.
Yeah.
And because he's really good at that, so he's kind of like their go to for the really big episodes. But because Doomsday tanked, he can't really get funded for anything bigger these days. But you wouldn't watch those and think, oh my god, that's Neil Marshall.
They
get steady work doing TV episodes, but not really allowed to put their stamp on it.
Yeah,
we should probably talk about Sightseers.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Would you call yourself a fan of dark comedies in general?
It's a tough one. I find them more polarising than safe comedies, I guess. But personally speaking, I'm more likely to...
No, generally. I know people who hate sex.
I mean, generally, but, like, me specifically.
Yeah.
You know, because something... I can watch one black comedy and really enjoy it. Like, Sightseers. Spoilers. I really enjoyed it.
In that case, watch Killlist.
I can watch other things like that and find them in poor taste or something. So I think it depends on the execution, you know, because I think if we watched Sightseers and didn't like the protagonists, I don't think it would have been that enjoyable, because you wouldn't have been on their side when they were sort of delivering such dark humour.
It's a tough one, really, I wouldn't say I was on their side. I didn't even really like the protagonists.
Really?
They were kind of they were.
Not on their side, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't actively dislike them.
No. I think in order for the film to work, you have to engage with them a little bit.
Yeah.
And again, obviously, I think that's why we chose to talk about Willow Creek in the same show. Again, it's the actors are a huge part of that, obviously. Alice Lowe is just wonderful.
The only thing I've seen her in, apart from...
Garth Marenghi. This is the only thing you've seen.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Only those two things.
Hot Fuzz briefly.
In which case, I've seen three things.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought you'd have seen that. But I had no idea. I'd only ever seen her kind of do other people's material. I had no idea how funny she was.
Yeah.
Like, because she was probably... In the context of something like Garth Marenghi, I think you would probably mention Matthew Holness or...
Richard Ayoade.
Yeah.
Matt Berry.
Any one of those names before going, oh yeah, there was that woman in it as well.
Yeah.
So she was great in it, but she didn't necessarily shine, whereas in this, I think it's...
She really does.
Yeah, it's nice to see a different side of her. She's a lot more versatile than I gave her credit for.
No, I'm inclined to agree with that.
Yeah, Steve Oram, I'm not familiar with him.
No,
He was in Kill List. Oh, apparently he was in The World's End, but I've yet to see that.
I will look that up, because I really enjoyed The World's End.
Did you?
Yeah, I know it divided people, but...
He looks
really
a lot different
it.
Without a beard. Maybe that's why you didn't recognise him. Yeah, he seems to be in quite a lot, actually. But I'd never really taken any notice of him if I had seen anything else.
Well, it's one of those things. It's I find that with a lot of actors, you know, unless they have this particular defining character, you don't...
Ginger-faced.
..realise how... you don't realise how much you've seen them in until you go back and...
Yeah, definitely.
..rewatch things you've seen before, and then you suddenly realise, oh my God, it's this guy.
There
was a perfect example recently, but I don't know what it was.
Well, one that's sort of topical for us, because we've been recently watched Silicon Valley again. Oh God, now I feel really bad. The guy who died, Peter Gregory, Christopher something Welch.
Don't know offhand.
Yeah, but I watched Silicon Valley and I was like, who is this guy? He's brilliant. And then looked and I was like, oh shit, he died, which is really sad. And then I looked through his credits and I was like, Jesus Christ, this guy has been in so much stuff.
Really?
But I had never noticed him before.
Yeah.
But he kind of goes to show how much of a chameleon he was, really. But I guess
it's one of those things where it's the sign of a good actor, you know.
Definitely.
They're defined more, not defined, but like if you're more aware of their characters than the actors.
Yeah.
I guess it shows they're doing their job properly.
Absolutely. So, from what I gather, I don't know for a fact because I probably should have done more research into this before turning on the microphone. But from what I gather, there wasn't a very rigid script. Well, there was.
Yeah.
But I think I remember reading somewhere that Ben Wheatley, Steve Oram, and Alice Lowe got together and kind of developed the characters and developed the script together.
Yeah.
So I'm sure some of it was probably ad-libbed.
It did feel very... not... Because obviously it was scripted, but it felt real, I guess.
Yeah.
It wasn't
kind of naturalistic
written in a
way.
Kind of... You know, particularly, you know, kind of flowery way or whatever. It was just the way people speak, you know.
Yeah, and I think that it kind of it makes it quite obvious that they worked on the characters perhaps before the script.
Yeah,
because I guess if you fall into character, then the dialogue comes a little bit more naturally.
Yeah, of course.
And it's nice that they all had a hand in it, so that, you know, the delivery of the lines did feel a bit more solid.
And it's the way they all imagined it, right?
Yeah.
So obviously, you there are moments where you find a writer will script something to be delivered in a certain way, and then it will just be completely trashed,
mangled by a poor actor who doesn't have a clue. Yeah, yeah, I've seen that a few times. What would you compare this film to? Not Willow Creek. In terms of the humour,
it felt very... I mean, which is weird because I never watched it, but it felt very League of Gentlemen. That kind of Mark Gatiss.
Did you ever watch League of Gentlemen?
No.
Holy shit, you should. It's amazing. Christ, I've been saying for years I need to revisit that. I used to love it. Tonally, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Not
in terms of the kind of...
Yeah, it lacks the absurdist level.
Yeah. It was more Tina's character than anything. She felt like she would be more at home in the kind of League of Gentlemen world.
I think you're right, actually. I think one of the reasons that I love this film so much is just the sheer Englishness. And for that reason, I'd be very surprised if it did well at all outside the UK.
Yeah, we were saying that, weren't we? It is, yeah.
Just because, particularly American audiences don't seem to stomach this kind of character as well. they want them to be prettier and, you know, to talk in a certain way and look a certain way, and they're a bit disinterested if they're normal. And I love films. I love British films about just normal people. I love that kind of down and dirty grittiness that you don't get outside British cinema a lot of the time. Which I think is why I love it. Just that sheer sort of gritty Englishness. I love it. Absolutely love it. And you don't hear very many films with bloody Midland accents for a start. That was quite interesting.
it really suited it, though.
Oh, yeah.
It gave it this really kind of... it's this... maybe it's the League of Gentlemen thing, but it was kind of... I think, to a certain extent, the Northern accent, no offence, is like the Southern accent equivalent of the UK. It's kind of give this kind of almost like backwards feel in a bit. A little bit.
Offence taken.
Yeah. Understandable, really.
You can't preface something with no offence and then be offensive.
No offence, but I hate your accent.
I can sort of see that. That's...
Thank you.
if I'm honest, please, Northern listeners, don't hate me. It's one reason that even... because I don't think I sound that Northern.
Not really, no. You've definitely tampered it.
Well, people down here... think I'm really Northern. People back home think I sound really posh. But my accent hasn't really changed since moving.
Okay.
My parents were very much, no, pronounce your words properly. So I was like, it's 20, not 20.
20.
So I had that drilled into me. So I'd... yeah, I don't know. I'm not as big a fan of Northern accents as I perhaps should be. Turncoat. What a traitor. But yeah, you're right, the Midland accent really lend it that sort of... I don't know what the word that I'm looking for is. My brain keeps saying gritty.
I know what you mean, though.
It's very kitchen sink.
Yeah.
I guess. And I think the soundtrack is pretty wonderful, or wonderfully suited to it, because the whole feel of it is very kind of... English 80s. Even the, some of the clothes that they wear, Christ, they're so, like, talk about mom jeans.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Knitted underwear, wow. I had a knitted swimsuit when I was a kid.
You're really scratchy.
But that's super 80s.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Really impractical, too.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I think it was pretty heavy on the Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Yeah, and Soft Cell.
Yeah, but it really worked, I thought.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the opening with Soft Cell. I think it really fit the tone well. I mean, it's, the song's called Tainted Love, you know? Yeah. It really is. It's exactly what the film's
fairly
about.
Very fitting. So, skip to the end.
Yeah.
At any point during the film... I often find this is a measure of how immersive and good, I guess, a film is. Did you try and second guess the end at any point, or did you just get sucked into it? Because I find that if I'm really enjoying a film, I just stop thinking about what's going to happen.
I think when they, obviously, spoilers, everyone. It goes without saying.
The viaduct.
As soon as I realised, like... they'd made up, and in fact I figured as soon as I realised they'd made up, I figured they were going to jump. I didn't realise she wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's but I guess I, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I kind of love, the fact that if you rewatch it at any point, it's quite interesting to see there's an element to her character that you might not necessarily pick up on the first time around, and that's that she's way more psychopathic than at first glance.
Yeah.
And even the way that she kind of plays him, which is odd because she comes across as so forthright and dumb.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get.
I was kind of charmed in a way because she had this kind of real like childlike naivety. Yeah. And it was really like, I think particularly the accent as well.
Yeah.
Like really, they really fitted well. No offense to any of our Birmingham listeners.
I don't think they'll be listening anymore. No, but yeah, I think you're right. But yeah, there's definitely something beneath the surface, and there's a few sort of hints that maybe she's more of a game player on second and third viewing, which is quite interesting. Well, just the way she's like flicking through the notebook and sees the, you know, the two of them on the viaduct at the end, and you think maybe she knew what was going to happen then. Yeah, there's a few little moments like that that made me wonder.
Okay.
If there was,
have to rewatch it.
Yeah. If there was one moment in it that you would take out, or that maybe turned your stomach a little bit, or that you thought was in too poor a taste, which moment would it be?
I think that's a tough one, because none of the humour struck me as particularly over the line.
Mm-hmm. I know which bit I would choose.
But in terms of, like, I guess just moments that made my stomach turn, I didn't like the guy with his head caved in.
Oh god, that was brilliantly done.
I mean, that was the thing. It wasn't even that. Like, I've seen plenty worse, but in terms of the whole, unless there's a bit I'm completely forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me,
and it might be that as soon as you say it, I was like, oh yeah, no, that bit.
The dog. The flashback.
Yeah, to be fair, that was pretty.
I hate stuff like that, though. I don't know if it says anything about my personality, but I would much rather see humans get hurt than animals. That's
Poppy.
Obviously, yeah. But last week, when we got together, we talked a little bit about Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
I was nearly crying that bit on the bridge at the end when they were being shot. Fuck really? The humans. But the fact that they're animals, God. Yeah. But otherwise, I think you're right in that it's it, but it, and it toes the line all the way through. And I've read reviews of the film where people have completely decried it and said, oh my god, how can people like this? It's too sick.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just because, I mean, maybe they just, that those sort of things are from non-horror fans' perspective. Like,
perhaps,
anyone who's
I think maybe
seen
it was
Peter Jackson or
well, it's
you
funny
know,
actually, because one of the reviews I read that hated it actually name-checked Braindead.
Really?
That was their one example of horror comedy
That they liked.
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah. That
odd.
Because
I think, you know, Braindead was a lot more darker. A lot darker than.
I don't know about darker.
Yeah, true. But
I think maybe it doesn't sit right because perhaps they don't get the. I don't know. Maybe they're just not fans of British humour, or
maybe.
I think one of the lines that I read was from somebody who sounded reasonably intelligent for IMDb, which was
for IMDb,
a turn
that's
up
the,
for the book. No, no, well, very intelligent for IMDb.
Okay,
put it
but
that
just
way.
Generally intelligent. Okay.
But they basically said that, oh, I don't know how anybody could find all these people getting killed in such a cold way funny. Like, I don't understand it. And,
yeah.
Oh, it was too, I think they said too icy to be funny.
So I didn't get that.
God, no.
I didn't get that. I thought it was weirdly warm.
Yeah. Just because they were so real.
Yeah.
I love the bit with the giant pencil.
Yeah, she's writing it.
How much is that pencil?
It's just clearly labelled 24 items. 24 pounds.
Every time I go anywhere and I see massive pencils now.
I want that giant pencil.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing that's so English about it, is just the places they visit.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
Like tram museums and pencil museums. It's like,
do you know
so,
what? The older I get, I would love to do that holiday, but like without the murder.
Yeah, oh yeah,
mostly.
Understandably. Mostly.
It depends.
But with the stealing of dogs, of course.
Well, if anyone litters, yeah. My trauma patience a bit too much.
But no, it was like that just, it's very quintessentially English.
Yeah.
That's
just
you,
the best
you
description.
Find these kind of odd monuments to days gone by.
Niche
in a way, you know.
Yeah, I think I always compare things to America because that's like obviously where most of the films that we consume come from. But yeah, I mean, they've got places like that as well. I read I think it was a Dave Gorman book.
Okay.
Where he drove across America and found all these like mom and pop places and these weird kind of like biggest something in the world.
Bottle of twine in the world.
Yeah, that sort of shit. So they're as into that kind of weird, archaic crap as we are.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't. It's not the same.
It's, I mean, it sounds. Makes you wonder whether it's just something to do with the just the period of time the country's been kind of active, for want of a better word, you know, because I mean, America's only like 400 years old, 500
it's
years
a,
old.
It's a comparatively young country.
Yeah, or at least America as we know it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was, you know, Native Americas beforehand. But America as we know it certainly. And consequently, things like that might seem superficial, I guess, in a way. Or not shallow as such, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like
it's not as steeped in history.
It's like celebrating a history that isn't quite as much there as it is for us, you know.
Yeah, I find that really odd as well, and the fact that they're so insular and study American history and American literature. I'm like, we've got more of it.
There's loads of history over here.
Come over here and look at trams. It's amazing. Giant pencils. So I think I'm actually going to have to look into how well this did outside of the UK.
Yeah, I think
I'm intrigued.
It'd be a good one to look into.
So on that note, wrap up for us. What would you give out of 10? Would you rewatch it?
Yeah.
Would you introduce other people to it? Tentatively.
The
right people.
I think it would be... It wouldn't be my go-to, oh my God, we must watch this.
It's not a broad recommend.
No, but at the same time, if I had it and it was there and I was with someone who I knew would enjoy it, then it would, you know, I'd definitely suggest it. So out of 10, I'd probably give it a 7, I think.
7 out of 10.
Yeah, I think it's flawed in places. I know we didn't really talk much about its flaws.
Well, talk about the flaws quickly.
You caught me by surprise there. I can't actually. I don't know.
If you can't think of any, then you're gonna have to increase.
So maybe I might
have to score.
I think it's. I guess it might just be not one of those types of films, but it just didn't strike me as a. Oh my God, I'm going to show this to everyone I know. Okay, 8 then. I'm too easily swayed.
Oh, wow.
What?
I made you increase your score by a whole point.
I know. I just...
Can I bully you further? Can we make you give it a 10 by the end of this evening?
I just can't think of... I mean, that's one thing we didn't talk about, the cinematography.
Oh, okay.
There's some beautiful shots in there.
Yeah, I think
that's one of the reasons it's so kind of one of the reasons I enjoyed it so much. One of the reasons it's quite so like humorous as well, because it's these grisly murders set against this really beautiful landscape.
Yeah, absolutely. They utilise the locations really well, and it's. I wonder if he uses the same cinematographer every time, because it does have a very similar feel to some of his other stuff.
Yeah.
To
look into that.
Yeah, some similar shots, anyway.
But no, yeah, actually, 8, I think. Because, as you say, I can't really think of any, or many, if any, flaws. That's a pretty terrible wrap-up, but over to you.
I think that's a good wrap-up if you went from a 7 to an 8.
That's
a pretty successful wrap-up as far as I'm concerned.
7. Oh.
No, I think 8.5.
8.5?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And I've seen it 3 times now and it really holds up.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine.
To the point where on repeated viewings it actually becomes quite quotable in places.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
I'd be lying if I said I hadn't uttered the line about brown lipstick towards the end once or twice.
I just loved it because she did feel like a kid just trying to say the most offensive thing possible, and it just comes across quite
weirdly endearing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think therein lies the charm.
Yeah, yeah. It is a disarmingly charming.
Yeah, very weirdly. There's a lot of people who would disagree with you.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of them. Solid 8.5. I've seen it 3 times and I will continue to watch it and I will continue to introduce people to it.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to rewatch it again.
Yeah.
Rewatch it.
Like you said, not a broad recommend, but
no.
If it was somebody that I thought would be into that kind of thing, I wouldn't hesitate to tell them to watch it.
And,
so.
You know, League of Gentlemen is so popular, or was so popular, there are bound to be people out there who would, so...
I'm going to make you watch League of Gentlemen soon, just because I want to see it again, because you should really watch it.
Yeah.
So on that note, get in touch. Nobody ever emails us. Send me an email, goddammit.
Go out of your way, even if you want to talk to us on Twitter, that you can have infinite characters.
Just
the whole 140
hi.
Characters.
I'm lonely. I'm not really. But just say hi. Yeah, it doesn't have to be feedback. Just say you've listened.
Might even give you a shout out.
Yeah, or recommend something. We had Paul recommended Necromantic on Twitter this last week. So we're going to look into that. Neither of us have seen it.
No.
Embarrassing.
Interesting.
It does, yeah. I think he was afraid it might be a bit too obscure, but no film is too obscure for Radio Gore Press. Just putting that out there if you do have any suggestions. So yeah, feel free to email us. We're at mail@gorepress.com. Check out the site, gorepress.com. We've not had a vast amount of new reviews lately. We went live with our review of The Battery today, which is quite interesting because me and Scullion do not always see eye to eye, but I could have written that review.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's spot on.
I absolutely agreed with everything that he said.
Okay.
But at the same time, it wasn't overly positive, but I will say go and watch it. Make your own mind up. What else? What else? We've got a few bits and bobs upcoming.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you do have any suggestions, obviously we are on Facebook. How do they find us on Facebook?
It's a whole mess because of the way Facebook naming conventions work. But if you search the Gorepress Gorecast, you'll be led to Radio Gorepress, the page.
But so even though we've changed our name, can you search for Radio Gorepress?
I haven't looked into it actually, but I mean, I guess it might work, but
Google Facebook Radio Gorepress.
The actual URL is Gorepress Gorecast because that was the same as what it was when we were the Gorepress Gorecast. So,
oh well.
As far as I know, maybe it changes after a while, but
we can live with that. Just come and find us anyway. And the other thing is Twitter. The other thing. We are at Radio Gorepress.
Yeah.
Funnily enough.
Mm.
So, yeah, we don't update the Twitter a vast amount, but if you want to chat about films, more than happy to get into a discussion. More than happy. And again, always willing to take recommendations.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm waffling now, so on that note, until next time. We don't know what we're doing next time, by the way.
No.
We'll announce it online at some point when we decide. A day before. So with that in mind, because we've talked about the fabulous 80s soundtrack to Sightseers, which I dug a hell of a lot, we're
going to
leave
you. Yeah, I
wonder why. I don't know. I quite like the 80s. So yeah, we're going to leave you with My Ruin's cover of...
Yeah.
So, next time.
See ya.
Bye.